Good morning. My name, as she said, is Joaquin Sanabria. I work for the International Fertilizer Development Center with headquarters in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And all the co-authors in the presentation work for the same organization. This project includes experiments that are presently running in Bangladesh and others that are running in the headquarters of IFDC in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. For this presentation, I am going to use only data from one of the growing seasons in Bangladesh. This is the organization that I have for my presentation. The nitrous oxides, or N2O, are one of the greenhouse gases. Most of the generation of those gases come from fertilizers, and they are responsible for about 74 of the total greenhouse emissions in the USA. The N2O is a very powerful greenhouse emission gas. It has about three times the power of CO2 in terms of warming potential, and also is the most important ozone depletion emission coming from agriculture and from industrial processes. The N2O and NO always come from fertilization, or most of the time, and always involve nitrification and denitrification processes. The reports of N2O emissions contain a very high variability in the magnitude of the N2O reported. We believe that the factors that have the largest influential in that such a high variability are the chamber heights, the non-steady state chamber height, the deployment or reading time, the bulk density of the soil, and the type of model that is used for the estimation of the N2O emissions. In this experiment, which was run in Bangladesh, in the experiment station of the Bangladesh Agricultural University, we used three sources of nitrogen: the control without no nitrogen, the broadcast pre-urea, which is the common practice in not only in Bangladesh, but almost everywhere in the world, and then a new practice, which is a deep placement urea briquettes, abbreviated as UDP. Also, we combined those three sources with two water management. One was a continuous floating or standing water, and the alternate wetting and drying regime. The data generated that I will present here comes from the 2014 borrow season, which goes from January to May. And the main objective of this study was to compare these three different models for their performance in estimating the N2O emissions. The three models are a linear regression model, an exponential regression model, and the Hutchinson and Mosier model, which is an exponential model, but is from the deterministic type. This is the system that we had for collecting the data. There's several components among those a set of 12 non-steady state chambers that had an automatic mechanism for closing and open the lid. It has an automatic gas sampling, online gas analysis, and a data logger. The three models were, again, the linear regression model with this equation that is very common in many applications on science. Then the exponential model. The key component in the exponential model, or in any of the models, is to estimate the slope. In the exponential model, the slope comes from the first derivative of the model, of the prediction of N2O fluxes with respect to time. Then we have the Hutchinson and Mosier model that requires to have a 3 points or three concentration that has to be equidistant, the 3 points, and has this mathematical limitation that only can be solved or only have any meaning if the ratio between these two concentrations or N2O concentration differences must be larger than one or be between the range of 0 and 1. Otherwise, the N2O estimated doesn't have any sense. For the method detection limit of the system, we use the definition provided by EPA. Usually the calculation of the MDL for a method requires to use gases that don't contain N2O, which is very difficult to find in Bangladesh. For that reason, we develop a statistical methodology regressing the N2O concentrations against time in periods where the likelihood of having a significant emission is very high. We got the residuals from those regression models and developed the probability distribution. From that probability distribution, we calculated the standard deviation and applied this equation suggested by EPA. Then later, we made a validation of the regression method with an experimental setting in which we use N2 and N2O stream to run through the analyzers. And we got a very similar value for the N2O using either the statistical method or the experimental method. The identification of a significant N2O emission event was based in these three criteria. First, the regression model that is fed has to be significant, the full model at least at 0.05 level. The R-square must be 0.7 or higher, and the difference between the observed value at time zero and the observed value at 40 must be at least equal to the MDL. Then after we estimate and calculate the emissions from most significant events, we accumulate them using this equation to obtain the total N2O emission for the season. One of the main objectives in the project is to compare the three models, and that comparison is based in this series of criteria. First, the model has to be, or the estimation made by the model has to be sensitive to the crop management factors, such as the nitrogen application times and the soil and wetting variation across the season time series. Also, the estimation made by the model has to be sensitive to the treatment differences. The other is respect to the accuracy of the model to feed the observed data. The first component of the accuracy test is the test of this hypothesis that the intercept is equal to the atmospheric N2O background, 326 parts per billion. Also, the model must have an appropriate fitness to the observed data. To evaluate that, we use the archaic information criterion. And the model with the lower IAC, it would be a better fitness than the other. For evaluating the precision of the models, we calculated the error variances from the different models, actually from the two regression models, and compare the two variances with an F-test using testing this hypothesis. And the last performance component is to see the effect of the model accuracy in the calculation of the total seasonal emission. These are examples of significant events. N2O events, we have the concentration of N2O in parts per billion against time. You can see that in, In all the cases shown here, we have a concave curve. Some of them are negative, in which we can interpret that as the soil being a sink of N2O. And we have also positive responses in which the soil is acting as a source of N2O. Here is the time series comparison for the three models, the linear model, the exponential model, and the HM model. Across the figure, we have the treatments, the six treatments that we had. And inside each model, we have the water management system that we use. So, for example, for the linear model, we have the three sources of urea. This column is the AWD management of water. This is the constant flooding of the water management. We can observe this is the control treatment. This is the pre-urea, and this is the application of urea in form of briquettes. Look the large difference between this row and either of the two, because this is the pre-urea application. Notice how the time series is completely different than in the other for the other two rows. It's because in the pre-urea application is where we better see the response of the N2O segregate the N2O emissions responding to either the top dressing application of nitrogen or to the drastic changes on soil moisture. So both the linear model and the exponential model are sensitive to that. The HM model is not that sensitive. Look how the HM model is underestimating very grossly the N2O emission events. And it's also, it doesn't have the same kind of sensitivity. You don't see the fluctuations along the season that are detected by either the linear model or the exponential model. Look how the use of the urea briquettes has a very similar response to the control when we don't apply nitrogen. The HM model here is producing a series of N2O events that actually we believe don't exist and are also underestimating the magnitude of the N2O emissions. So from observing this time series, we decided to exclude the HM model to continue the evaluation of the models for the estimation of N2O emissions. Here in this table, we have the total N2O emissions for the season obtained by the combination of treatments and for the three models. The largest emission, let's say, in the pre-urea takes place with the exponential model. After that, we have the linear model and the extremely underestimation from the HM model. Something interesting here in this table is that here we are separating the responses as negative emissions and positive emissions, and it's clear in the table that the exponential model was able to detect a larger number of negative N2O emission events. As a result, we found that and in terms of measuring the accuracy of the model, we have that in half of the significant N2O events, the exponential model was able to not reject the null hypothesis, that meaning that the intercept is not significantly different from the background N2O in the atmosphere. The linear model was able to non-reject the null hypothesis for the intercept only in a third of the significant events. 35% of the responses departed from linearity, and they fit the exponential model. In every case, the exponential model has a lower a Kaike information criterion than in the linear model. That's why we concluded that basing the test for the intercept and for the fitness, we can conclude that the exponential model is more accurate than the linear model. In terms of the precision between the models, they were not significantly different. Then here I am showing the pair comparison of the two models that remain, the two regression models. For making the pair comparison, we had to use a subset of the significant emissions, those in which both the linear model and the exponential model were significant. We ended with around 1,100 significant cases. For every of the treatments in the experiment, the linear model was underestimating in this magnitude. That underestimation is significant at 0.05 significance, given that in none of the confidence interval we have the zero. Then we transform the total emission in terms of grams per hectare, and at the end we found that the highest underestimation takes place when we combine the AWD water management with preluria. In that case, the linear model is subestimating the N2 emissions in 4.11 grams per hectare. The conclusion is one thing is that we in this study ended having curves that are against the regular curve shape that is reported in many cases. We believe that even at 40 minutes, the N2O flux keeps growing because probably the 40 minutes reading is too short, and the building up of the N2O concentration hasn't been enough for the curve to start declining. The two regression models were able to make predictions sensitive to both the treatments and to the management across the growing season. The H model was not able to make those the right estimations along the growing season. The exponential, the linear model has a lower accuracy than the exponential model. The two models don't have a significant difference in terms of precision, and the apparent underestimation of the preluria and under the water and drying water regime actually is in the magnitude of 26.3 tons during the borrow season. All the project was run with funds provided by USAID.